My task, as indicated in the program, was to address the issue, the statement, the title, From Mystery to Mastery, A Call for the Reclamation of the Secret Keys. And I want to try to carry you through a conversation that I've been having with myself in the form of that concept of From Mystery to Mastery. And I want to talk about mystery and then talk with you about the charge for how do we encourage ourselves to move to mastery. What is the mystery in this called melanin? I would like to direct you to the book of Knowing the Evolutions of Ra. And in the book of Knowing the Evolutions of Ra, we are told the story of creation, which says, I am he who evolved himself under the form of the god Kapera. I, the evolver of the evolutions and developments which came forth from my mouth. No heaven existed and no earth, and no terrestrial animals or reptiles had come into being. I formed them out of the inert mass of watery matter. I found no place whereupon to stand. I was alone, and the gods Shu and Tefnut had not come forth from me. There existed none other who worked with me. I laid the foundations of all things by my will, and all things evolved themselves therefrom. I united myself to my shadow and set forth Shu and Tefnut out of myself. Thus, from being one God, I became three, the Holy Trinity, the mystery. The mystery, from mystery to mastery. I had in my head the task that I was going to spell out somehow by digesting all the elegance and excellence that has been presented over the last 2 to 3 days, the research implications and applications of melanin. And since I consider myself a scientist an initiate, I thought I would talk about epistemology and then talk about some methodology and try to show how we can use this stuff, because those are the things that I know. And this melanin stuff that has been going around is, and I've heard everyone say that, you know, I got a message, I had a dream, I had a thought, it came to me. And so I sometimes would sit and quietly say, these black folks is really getting high in here. No, we better be careful, because we may just surprise ourselves. And thought about it, and then this statement came to me. And actually, I literally got up with the sun this morning and tried to write it down, because I wanted to decide I wanted to use it with this discussion. And the statement was that melanin is a molecule in metaphor. Melanin is a molecule in metaphor designed to draw our attention to the mystic keys necessary to set our minds in motion. Melanin is a molecule in metaphor. It's designed to draw our attention to the mystic keys necessary to set our minds in motion. And all these M's started messing with me a little bit, and I started getting melanin and mystic and metaphor and motion and mind and Malcolm and Martin and Medgar and mother. And so I shall present to you From Mystery to Mastery. A mystic, I need to give you some definitions, because they're important that we, as Professor Wimby pointed out, not be bound by the definitions of other people and their interpretations. And sometimes we get confused because we hear words and we give them the definitions that we've been trained in. But a mystic is simply one who has an immediate and constant rapport with the divine. It is us, because that divinity is melanin. Think about it. A mystic is one who has an immediate and constant rapport with the divine. We cannot be any more immediate and have any more constant rapport than we have with ourselves, other than when someone defines us away from ourselves. Next definition, power. Power is nothing more than the ability to define reality and to have other people respond to your definition as if it were their own. Power is the ability to define reality and to have other people respond to your definition as if it were their own. Some people somewhere define melanin as a deficit. Some people somewhere convinced us that the pigmentation that was in fact our essential in wrapping was a negativity. And when we believed that, they had power over us. Second definition, conceptual incarceration. Conceptual incarceration. There are concepts that we use as scientists, as thinkers, that are alien to our fundamental nature. And those concepts lock us up. They literally put us in jail. They prevent us from understanding the reality that we are trying to deal with. Conceptual incarceration. Concepts can prevent you from understanding reality. And in effect, as Professor Wimby pointed out, European concepts can prevent us from understanding African reality. We have to always question the concepts. We have to recognize that you are always limited in what you can know by what you do know, even though you may not know what you know. You're always limited in what you can know by what you do know, even though you may not know what you know. It is the hidden that is what we may not know what we know. The third and final definition, which I want to put out as a guide for my discussion, is the issue of culture. Culture. Culture is a process which gives people a general design for living and patterns for interpreting their reality. Culture is not the stuff that we just see as manifestations of how people dress or how people eat. All those are part of culture. But the fundamental essence of culture is that it is the process which gives people a general design for living and patterns for interpreting their reality. When I wrote this theory of differential self-realization based upon melanin, I was attempting to try as a good thinker to try to give some clarity to why white folks and black folks were different. And it probably was a good exercise for a young scholar, because when you're a young scholar, you don't have much to do. And you don't understand what the more serious questions are. So when we spend a lot of time trying to define why white folks are the way they are, that's important to do as an exercise for a young mind. But in doing that, it became very clear as I dealt with issues of the phylogenesis of human consciousness and looked at the fact that when we talk about consciousness, we can see consciousness arising out of the actual evolution of the species, that what this is that I am is part of my consciousness. We can also look at consciousness in terms of its ontogenetic basis and realize that consciousness reveals itself, human consciousness reveals itself in the development from the ovum to the completed organism. And what is the constant ingredient in that process other than melanin? And finally, we can look at human consciousness in terms of its autogenetic basis and recognize that man's consciousness takes shape as the consequence of our confrontation with existential acts, that the environments that we find ourselves in also shape our consciousness. In dealing with all of that, it became very clear that the mechanism that has been designed is designed to understand both its internal being, its internal essence, in the external or alien reality. And so I posited as a kind of differential self-realization that the way we realize ourselves is through knowing the external. And the central nervous system is designed primarily to do that, to allow us to know the external. But there's also something that allows us to know both the external and the internal, and that, I posited, was something called the essential melanic system, that melanin enwraps us both internally and externally, and that to be a human being, I even went so far and be so brash as to try to develop a little lightweight formula, so I had CSN plus EMS equals HB. That was getting down. But CSN obviously means the central nervous system, and EMS means the essential melanic system, and HB means the human being. And so I argued that the central nervous system plus the essential melanic system equals a human being, and therefore concluded in my best Aristotelian logic that to be human is to be black. To be human is to be black. And as I went to proceed and sat at the foot of all these great minds of melanin, they told me a great many different things about melanin. Melanin being critical to human life, melanin being critical to the evolution of the brain and the central nervous system, and melanin being found in all the essential organs of the body, and melanin being in fact related to the organization of the brain, and that the pineal gland and the limbic system and the substantia nigra and the locus coeruleus are all central to what we are as human beings, and they are all critically dependent upon melanin. And finally, I came across a very obscure old book that talked about something called innate releasing mechanisms in the human being, in all living systems. And this innate releasing mechanism found to be very interesting because it may have something to do with melanin, and I've been playing with it for a while now, and I want to suggest to you a possibility. Innate releasing mechanisms are those inherited structures in the nervous system that enable an animal to respond appropriately to a circumstance never experienced before. And these structures, these innate structures, are called innate releasing mechanisms. And in the text, they tell us that you can look at the fact that a baby chick, when first born and coming out of its egg, if you take a cardboard drawing of a hawk and fly the shadow over the chick will know what to do because the hawk is its predator. And so the chick, without having learned, will get its butt away, find itself some brush and hide. Or you can take turtles who will be born and they will immediately turn themselves around 360 degrees and head for the ocean because the sound of the water is a stimulus that allows them to do what is appropriate in experiences that they've never experienced before. And so I thought for a while that possibly melanin might serve as an innate releasing mechanism in the human system, that melanin might be the inherited structure in the human being that enables the human to respond appropriately to circumstances never before experienced. And that in this notion of innate releasing mechanisms, there are some things called sign stimuli. And the sign stimuli, the shadow of the hawk is a sign stimuli. The sound of the ocean is a sign stimuli. So then possibly there are some sign stimuli that we can identify and work with that will cause the innate releasing, to cause melanin acting as an innate releasing mechanism to respond appropriately to circumstances that we've never experienced before. Because obviously we're not responding appropriately. Obviously we're not responding appropriately to racism. We're not responding appropriately to economic oppression. We're not responding appropriately to political exploitation. We're not responding appropriately to even developing our own children. So maybe there's something here in this melanin as a innate releasing mechanism that all we have to do is to explore and find those sign stimuli. Is it in the song? Is it in the dance? Is it in the mind? The sign stimuli that will cause the melanin to respond appropriately. And I think it is. I think it is found in our signs and in our symbols. The problem is that we have been looking at, studying, learning, and obeying other people's sign systems, the sign systems of the aliens. Now, we have to be real careful here and real clear, because it's probably our last chance to get it right. And when we look at the issue of symbols and signs in the ancient ways, we find that symbolisms and symbols were the ancients' intuitive vision, and they approached the world through their own intuitive vision. We approach the world knowing that to know was attitudinal, not factual. That we approach the world knowing that the attitude that as we looked at the signs, we would in fact be able to read the phenomena of nature as symbolic writing. Every sign in the universe is an alphabet in the symbolic writing of the universe. And so our task as scientists is to study the signs and to become capable of revealing the forces that are represented by the signs. Now, I'm not going to be spooky with you, so don't confuse what I'm trying to say. There are forces in the universe, and those forces are represented by symbols that stand for their essential function. So our task here is to understand the signs, because the signs reveal the essential function. And in the manipulation of the signs, we are then able to stimulate the innate releasing mechanism and cause ourselves to act appropriately in circumstances that we've never experienced before. So essential functions become an important notion in our methodology, in our task to define the epistemology of the African way. And the ancients gave it to us in many ways. The ancient told us that the thing, the ultimate sign, was a principle, and that human conduct is governed by principle. Our way has been the way of Ma'at. Our way has been the way of truth, of justice, of righteousness. Our way has been a way that recognized at the dawn of human civilization, at the dawn of human time, when humans first stood up and recognized that we were human, we said, first, we are conscious. We are aware. And secondly, we have character. And thirdly, we have conduct. Consciousness, character, and conduct. To be aware, to understand that our purpose is to form and to build, to create reality. Power is the ability to define reality and to have others respond to your definition as if it were their own. And finally, that our conduct, African people, our conduct is to have conduct that directs and leads the world. That our place is the place of rulership and governance. Ma'at, truth, justice, and righteousness. Ma'at, I live on truth. I feed on righteousness in my heart. To act on the square, to act on the square is a comedic notion that represents to act rightly. The signs are there. To act rightly, to act justly, to act truthfully, to act according to Ma'at. The act on the square, the Masonic square. You all know the Masonic square, right? The Masonic square. It is around us when the black woman stands up and tells brother man, what goes around comes around, and puts her hand on her hip. See me, the Masonic square, to act righteously. The signs are there in nature for us to see, to act righteously, to act accordingly, to act appropriately in a situation that you've never experienced before. The symbolisms are there. And the concept of the left foot forward, most of us have noted that have gone to Egypt that all the statues of humans are made with the left foot forward. It is not accidental. The ancient ones did not do things just for art's sake. They didn't decide that they were going to do something and then experiment with it and have insane visions and then call that art and hope that somebody was going to buy into it. Everything was prescribed. Everything was because of law. And in the art form of man's figure with the left foot forward, it is not accidental, and the ancients understood this whole connection between right brain and left brain, and the left side of the body being led forward, indicating that one should rule their confrontation with reality with the right side of the brain, the side of the brain that we now believe and understand has to do with being able to take into account the holistic conception of the world. And not that left side that does analytical stuff and tries to count and tries to speak and tries to add things up in real systematic, independent, separate, distinct ways. But our approach was an approach of understanding the world from our holistic nature. Our ancestors told us the science and gave us the science. In the destruction of IPEP and the aliens who came into ancient Kemet and tried to write about our world made some real fundamental errors. In the destruction of IPEP, there's one interpretation that says that the great serpent of evil, the left foot is placed upon it. Now, why would you place your left foot on the great serpent of evil? I need to make one quick clarification. We didn't deal with this notion of evil. We deal with the notion of disorder. Disorder. Evil is disorder. And so we begin to see this good and evil stuff and run around thinking that there are beings that are good and evil and have these innate natures. But the ancient ones said that evil was disorder. And so when you look at the destruction of IPEP, the interpretation is that one places the left foot on the evil snake, the great serpent. But it's not a snake of evil. You place the left foot on what? On disorder, and you therefore are able to bring order to disorder by using one's physiological system that says the right brain, if I may use this analogy, the part of our being that is designed to comprehend the whole, the eternal, the complete, is what you bring to bear to understand order. Disorder, and to transform disorder into order. Look at the signs. Read the signs. The ancient ones tell us, when the one wished to know himself, he first of all created himself. Power is the ability to define reality, to have other people respond to our definitions. When the one wished to know himself, he first of all created himself through the projection of his heart. And we won't let the romanticism of European Renaissance tell us that the heart was this place of love. The heart in ancient ways was the place of the mind. And the mind represented will and intent. To have intellect, one had will and intent, and intended for one's will to be done. That's intellect. How do we develop that in our young children? He conceived the world as a spirit, and the rules that played to intervene in the process of the world were specification. Here's a principle. How do we use that notion of specification in our application of our blackness? Determination, there's a principle. How do we use that principle of determination in our blackness? And animation. Animation, what Professor Malachi calls motion. Animation, to be alive is to be moving. Human beings have melanin. To be black is to be human. And the binding qualities of melanin, the receptor qualities of melanin, the absorption and the ability of melanin to convert energy, the indestructibility of melanin, the sensitivity of melanin, all points to our cultural way. All points to our cultural way. I would dare say that if we had the ability to take melanin, to take our culture, African culture, and to distill it, like bootleggers, you know, we used to be bootleggers at one time, to distill our culture, what would come out of the spigot would be liquid melanin. the relationships are so clear in terms of what melanin does and what our culture does. The fundamental basis of our culture is the principle of ontology. And in that ontological conception, our people said that the fundamental ontological principle is one of consubstantiation. We are with the same substance. We are with the same stuff. Is that same stuff melanin? We are with the same stuff. And translate itself to a cultural orientation. A cultural orientation that allowed us to see that Ma'at, even in contemporary African-American experiences, Ma'at, truth, justice, and righteousness, revealed itself in terms of how we dealt with ourselves in our traditional culture. The sense of appropriateness. Black culture says the sense of appropriateness means that you do not do the same thing to anybody. It's not anything and everything and I'm okay and you're okay. It is, in fact, when you speak to an elder, there is a deference. That's the sense of appropriateness. When you speak to the female principal, there's a deference. When you speak to the male principal, there's a deference that is guided by that relationship and guided by that notion of formality. That's Ma'at in contemporary version. We can look for the signs in our ancient ways to get the keys to unlocking the motions of our mind. The ancient priest, in fact, had no accidents and numbered the sacred shrines by beginning with the smallest. And in a like manner, we can begin with the smaller principles and enumerate to a larger understanding of melanin, bringing together all the physiology, the biology, the chemistry that we now know, and merging it with the ancient symbolic truths, the ancient symbolic signs. Those are our sign stimuli that will activate the innate releasing mechanism. The principles, the beginnings are clear. As we study them, the first principle of activation is the evocation of the cosmogenesis. You stop everything by activating that primordial ocean. Is that primordial ocean in our beings, the melanin? The second stage is the process of incarnation. How do you bring about the presence of the four sons of Horus in 1987? The third process is the process of becoming conscious. How do we become aware and triumph over all obstacles to use the left foot to control disorder in our beings? And the fourth level is the return to the cosmic source to enrich ourselves with the life, with the life-giving energy of Ra, of Ba, of Ka, all those symbolizing simply attributes of the divine and not individual independent elements. Our way is a way of truth, justice, and righteousness. Our way is a way based upon the ontological principle of consubstantiation. How do we do that? How do we take the wisdom that we have in these 2 days and develop it so that we can address one issue? And I'd like to propose to you that issue, the issue that will allow us to coalesce all these issues, is for us to accept the challenge of can we produce, with all this knowledge, with all the ancient wisdom, can we produce a single, competent and confident and conscious black child? It seems to me that that's the task. When we go from mystery to mastery, we're going from the unknown to the known. And we're going from that with a particular task in mind. We must be responsible for producing a better product. Just like Ford says it makes a better car. It's our time now to say we're going to make a better car. We're going to make a better black child. And all I want is one. See, that's the secret. I just want us to produce one.